Like it or not, the senior and elderly population is vulnerable to negligence committed by medical professionals, nursing home and assisted living facilities, pharmaceutical and medical device companies, insurance companies, and everyday individuals and businesses. The Injured Senior Podcast is here to help. Steve Heisler is the creator of the National Injured Senior Law Center and has been advocating for seniors' rights for over 20 years. You have questions, and Steve Heisler has answers. This is the Injured Senior Podcast.
Well, good day to everyone in our injured senior community. This is attorney Stephen Heisler, founder and CEO of the National Injured Senior Law Center, coming to you from cloudy and drizzly Baltimore, Maryland. So I took my St. Bernard, Molly, to her doggy daycare. And that's a whole nother subject why she's going to doggy daycare, but she gets a lot of good attention over there and she runs all day. But anyway, as I was taking her there this morning, the temperature on my car thermometer was 73 degrees. Lovely. I mean, it's been 90 plus for the past 2 weeks. So it was just a real relief to have some beautiful, cool weather this morning. By the way, Molly, our St. Bernard, is 2 years old, and she is definitely a beautiful dog. If you want to see pictures of her, feel free to text me on my cell phone at 443-854-2471, and I will be so happy to text you a collage of photos of this gorgeous St. Bernard. We really do love her. Anyway, you are presently listening to the Injured Senior Podcast, where we educate and discuss issues of importance to the injured senior community, as well as the injured elderly community, and to the children and loved ones of the injured senior and elderly population. And I am your humble host. So, Estella Aguirre was among five individuals to die and six others who were sickened by the coronavirus. Vincenzina Pantani was 82 years old when she was found dead in a whirlpool bathtub. She had drowned. Four seniors died when they were served gravy filled with mushrooms that had fungi and were toxic. Now, ladies and gentlemen of our injured senior community, what do all three of these incidents have in common? Well, they all happened in assisted living facilities. Now, a recent article appeared in Kaiser Health News highlighting the sad state of affairs going on with the assisted living facility industry. It pointed out that while there's over 25,000 assisted living facilities in the good old U.S., residents, half of which are 85 or older, receive less medical attention than they would receive in a nursing home. And assisted living staffs are typically smaller, and workers have less healthcare training. And fewer than half the states have less healthcare regulations for assisted living facilities than those at nursing homes. The bottom line, injured senior community, is that you are less safe at an assisted living facility. So we have Rob Shank here to talk to us today about assisted living facilities and his knowledge of what's going on with these facilities. Rob's law firm, Shank Smith, is based in Atlanta, Georgia, and is focused on representing individuals injured in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. He's also the co-host of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast, and that's a bi-monthly video podcast dedicated to educating families on nursing home care. He is a valuable resource. He's been on our show before, episode 6, if you want to listen to that episode. So let's welcome Rob Shank to the show. Welcome, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me again.
It's my pleasure, my good friend. Thanks for coming on. So in episode 6, you referred to assisted living facilities as the wild, wild west. What exactly did you mean by that?
Primarily, the fact that if you and I are talking about nursing homes, there's going to be uniformity with regard to how they're regulated from state to state. Assisted living facilities, what we're calling assisted living facilities, which, you know, might be called something different if you're in Utah or California or Delaware, it doesn't matter. There is no uniformity in regulation and guidelines across the country. And state A handles things differently than state B. And I believe that it's the wild, wild west, because that in turn causes a lot of quote unquote brand confusion. What are you getting out of these facilities? It's a gray area, in my opinion.
Okay. So, well, this might sound like a kind of either naive or stupid question, but what is the difference between a nursing home and an assisted living facility? You know, can you differentiate it?
A nursing home is defined by the federal government and doesn't differ from state to state. And it's essentially a facility that provides skilled nursing care according to those guidelines. Because an assisted living facility, what we're calling assisted living facility, is different from state to state, there's no broad definition. However, typically, there is no skilled nursing services provided at an assisted living facility like there is in a nursing home. A assisted living facility is a facility which typically only provides what's called personal services or assistance with daily living activities, and that's it. So I get calls from clients often that don't know that don't realize that there is not a registered nurse on duty at any given time at that assisted living facility, that in fact, their grandmother is being taken care of by someone who only has a high school education, that has no understanding of diagnosis, assessment, re-advising of a care plan, things like that. So to the extent that I can answer that, because who knows what state the listener's in, that's the biggest difference, is that one requires skilled nursing care, an interdisciplinary team that consists of a doctor, CNAs, they're all federally regulated. The other facility, depending on what state you're in, could have, the moron that sat behind you in gym class in middle school is the one that's taking care of people.
You know, the one that was sitting behind me in middle school was shooting spitballs into the back of my head. So, that guy now is taking care of our loved ones. So do the administrators, the intake people at the assisted living facilities, to the best of your knowledge, are they letting the individuals who are coming in there or want to come in there to live at the assisted living facility, are they advising them that there are no skilled professionals there?
Well, hopefully. So by way of example, in Georgia, there are state regulations about who is even qualified to go into assisted living facilities. So it's the facility's obligation to do an assessment to determine if this person can even come in or needs proper 24-hour skilled nursing care. Also, from that, they're required to tell them the services that they're going to get there. But you know how that works. I mean, like if you ever made a huge purchase like a house or car, whatever the case may be, you're signing 16 different pages. A lot of times, these are decisions that aren't made, weeks in advance, these type of things. Grandmother fell and now she can't do the things herself. We got to get her into a place, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of moving parts to that, sitting down in that admissions office and talking about these things that go overlooked. And like I said before, like many of my clients that want to sue an assisted living facility didn't know this stuff.
Yeah, we talked about that in episode 6, where when you sit down at the intake, they give you numerous pages to sign and to read, and they don't tell you that you're signing an arbitration agreement, which forbids you from suing them. So it's kind of like this probably falls into that category as well, that they might tell them that they're skilled professionals, but they might not. So then would it be fair to say that for the most part, people that are going into assisted living facilities, their healthcare concerns are not as serious as ones that are going into nursing homes?
That's a fair assessment. And I think that's kind of the concept behind the assisted living facility. Ideally, it's for someone who only needs assistance with what we would call ADLs for the most part. ADLs being activities of daily living. So if your grandmother needs help with personal hygiene, toileting, transferring, locomotion, these type of things, otherwise she's okay, then that's probably the candidate for assisted living facilities across the country. That's usually what it is. What you're finding, though, are that these are individuals that need more than that. They need somebody that has eyeballs on them and can tell whether or not that is a wound, that is a pressure ulcer, or that, you know, this person is of a cognitive impairment such that if there was some type of issue, they would not be able to find their way out of the building. In our podcast, Will and I talked about how people think that, what was it, Driving Miss Daisy, like it's something like that, where like it's a perfectly capable lady just needs a friend. And that's oftentimes not what you get in assisted living facilities. But that's kind of the idea, is that you have someone that can pretty much take care of themselves in some activities, but just needs a little bit of help from somebody that doesn't necessarily need to be qualified as a nurse.
Yeah, it's pretty alarming. We had Martha Kelso. I believe she's been on your show too. She is like the guru of pressure ulcers and bed sores. And she said on our podcast that even skilled professionals have a hard time diagnosing pressure ulcers, or bed sores. So, you know, in assisted living facilities where you've got somebody who's maybe making a little over minimum wage, who's got a high school diploma, how are they going to be able to detect that type of wound or that type of problem?
That's exactly right. So that hits a particular issue with like, what's the difference between the two? In a nursing home, the staff is obligated to assess skin, and for by way of example, skin integrity risk. And based on that assessment, put in place a care plan and revise the care plan as they have observed it to be working or not working. I know that in the state of Georgia, you have to do an assessment in an assisted living facility, but A, it's not as in-depth. B, you're not obligated to do anything with regard to skin integrity, preventing pressure ulcers and things like that. And so therefore, these things will happen, particularly if the person shouldn't be in there. So that level of care isn't quite the same, and the obligation to provide that care is not the same.
But are most people that are going into the assisted living facility, they're not going in with any particular issue that should be addressed by a nursing home? Is it that the problem is that while they're in there, as they continue to age or whatever, that things are going to happen, and that adequate staff that are, you know, have the qualifications to diagnose that or to treat it, they're just not there?
Yes and no, I guess, because I think that to the extent that any assisted living facility advertises memory care such that the public believes that, well, my grandfather has Alzheimer's and, you know, is only lucid 5 minutes a day and can't recognize me, and believes that they're, you know, living in 1976, that person, in my opinion, is not going to get the correct level of care in assisted living facility. They've kind of progressed out of that level, but yet assisted living facilities are advertising care for these types of people. They're, in my opinion, no difference between an 87-year-old person with advanced Alzheimer's in an assisted living facility versus a nursing home. They're under the same level of risk for fall, skin integrity, these type of issues. So that's what creates the gray area. That's what creates the problem. That's why it's kind of Wild West. At what point does someone graduate from assisted living facility to nursing home? And I don't think that most assisted living facilities can determine that appropriately. So by way of example, not to get too side-railed off this, but in Georgia, one of the criteria for whether or not someone should be in an assisted living facility is whether or not they can self-preserve, meaning that if there is a fire, if there is a hurricane, how much assistance is required for them to exit the building, right? And unfortunately, many people, and I, and you know, reviewing our assisted living facilities are monitored by the Department of Community Health, but all too often, the Department of Community Health is citing these places because they go in, and there are people with almost no cognitive abilities in these places that couldn't find the bathroom, let alone be able to walk out if there's a fire. So I was going to say that, unfortunately, just like this COVID, the COVID pandemic is shining a light on things. There is probably, nothing's going to change probably until there is some type of catastrophic calamity at one of these facilities in which people don't have time to get out.
Yeah, so assisted living facilities are basically, they're like a powder keg. And it's something, yeah, it's about to explode and it's not going to be good. I don't know if this is the explosion or not, but it's pretty close. Is COVID-19, right? Because half the people with COVID or who have serious consequences from COVID, I heard or read, come out of assisted living facilities and nursing homes, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, it's a vulnerable population. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have an intermediary between somebody who's living independently at home and needing 24-hour skilled nursing. I think we can all agree that it's okay to have an in the middle spot. I think the issue that needs to be addressed is there needs to be, you know, heightened care. Like they need to have a set parameter for who is working in these places. Like, again, not to say that the nursing homes across the country are the greatest places. I'm just saying that some type of regulation across the board would be beneficial. So nursing homes, you have to have a registered nurse for a certain amount of hours of the day, hands-on with each resident. Even the aides, the certified nursing aides, that's federally regulated, and the criteria and the application process and the testing process is the same across the board, all this kind of stuff, but that's not the same. You're not getting that same level of care in assisted living facilities. And in Georgia, you got places that, like I said, like I think they're called like residential care providers or whatever, which just basically means that you know how to pick somebody up off of a bed and put them in a wheelchair. You don't know how to diagnose wounds. You don't know how to assess wounds or observe wounds, these type of things.
So is there any particular reason, if you do know, in your opinion, why the assisted living facility industry has basically been left untouched, you know, or unregulated? Is there something going on with Congress or... You know, what is the reason why they have been basically insulated from any type of regulations or safety regulations?
So the nursing homes, 99.9% of nursing homes receive Medicare or Medicaid money. And that allows the federal government to regulate the facilities. So, you know, facility nursing home A, in whatever state, if you want to receive Medicare funding reimbursement for taking care of these people, you have to follow these rules. That, by and large, is not the case for assisted living facilities. I'm not quite sure how it is across the states, but Medicare and Medicaid is not paying for assisted living facility stays.
That's what I read. Yeah. That's what I learned. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's I think the primary, there might be other reasons, but I think that's the primary reason that you don't have federal regulation. It's my understanding that some federal regulation might be coming in the next couple of years, but that's why I believe that's the case.
Well, I read that the assisted living facility lobby is extremely powerful in each state legislature. I mean, one thing that really, really disgusts me is the deaths that I talked about in my introduction, the deaths, lady drowning in a whirlpool bathtub, the COVID deaths. When they do come in, when the state does come in, when there's deaths and they cite the facility for, you know, just a lack of safety safeguards for their residents, you know what they do? They fine them. And the average fine, guess how much it is?
It's probably less than $1,000, I would bet.
How about $150?
Oof.
All right. Yes. I mean, that is like insult to injury. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree.
Yeah. And yeah.
I think that's why it's important always to have a strong civil justice system. Because if we can agree that a citation or regulation is not going to act as a deterrent, then certainly a large verdict would.
And we talked about that last time too. Yeah. I mean, that the trial lawyers were the butt of a lot of people's jokes. But when something really, really bad happens to one of your loved ones, you know that our justice system allows us to go into civil court and get our justice there and accountability. So that's a very good point. Let me ask you this, Rob. What about infection control? To the best of your knowledge, are infections more prevalent in nursing homes or in assisted living facilities or what?
I don't have an answer to that. All I can tell you is that the federal regulations regarding infection control that would apply to nursing facilities are pretty stringent. Each facility has to have hand hygiene protocols, when PPE should be used, these type of things. And there should be a infection control kind of preventionist, is what you would call it, that kind of oversees those policies. With assisted living facilities, that's not the case. Now, each state might have infection control, you know, regulations for assisted living facilities, but in Georgia, they're not very strong, in my opinion, and they're not really enforced. So whether or not there's led to some, you know, wide gap between infections in assisted living facilities and nursing homes, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. So could you maybe go into your archives and your brain and maybe share with our listeners, our injured senior community, maybe a couple or one case that comes to mind involving an assisted living facility that you were involved in and what the particular facts of that case were?
Yeah. So there is a couple cases that we've handled in the past couple of years involving a cognitively impaired residents that fell a certain amount of times. So in those cases, like I said, one of the primary arguments that we make is that the facility failed to assess the resident and determine that they were not a candidate for that facility. In other words, the resident needed more care than that facility could provide. And that's, you know, that's fundamental to the case, because if they weren't there, they wouldn't have fallen 20 times in 1 month and then passed away. And that's why I keep harping on that. Like, you know, you don't have to stay here. I mean, you can't stay here. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. That's what these facilities need to say. You might not need skilled nursing care, but we don't have enough staff to make sure that your grandmother doesn't fall. Right? We don't have enough people to keep an eye on, or, you know, these type of things. I was going to say as well, there is an issue that I'm seeing now more and more, that these assisted living facilities, and we also have another designation in Georgia called personal care homes, which is even lower in terms of the services provided. But these facilities advertise that there is a nurse there, that there's a nurse that kind of oversees things, which gives a false impression that skilled nursing care is being provided. And I'm sure that's probably more and more becoming common in other states as well. Like, it's not fair to advertise nurse services, but you not only don't provide them, but you are prohibited from providing them under the state regulations. That also leaves a gray area. We have we're currently in litigation with a facility in which, you know, there is a, not to get too esoteric, but like, there is a demarcation between being negligent as a nurse and being negligent as somebody that is not a nurse. And so you have a nurse there, but do you have your nurse hat on when you don't make a care plan properly or drop this person? What kind of lawsuit is that? And so we're seeing that as well.
Right.
That's the main thing that I would stress to the listener is,
yeah,
make sure your loved one, if they are in an assisted living facility, make sure that they should be in there.
So, yeah. And I think, you know, the advertising that you have a nurse when you don't, or you maybe you call that person a nurse, but it's not, that's a misrepresentation. I think that in and of itself is actionable. I mean, the Attorney General of Georgia should be looking into that. And tell me your thoughts on this. But to me, it reeks of just greed. Obviously, the industry is looking to make as much money as they can. And when it's maybe a gray area, they definitely don't err on the side of the patient, you know? And that's why we're doing this show today, because I know my parents are in their 80s and they have been talking about assisted living facilities. And to be honest with you, if they gave me a name, I would just say, okay, well, let's go take a look at it. But, you know, there could be dangers lurking in places that don't, that, you know, that look great on the outside. Yeah. So that's good information, Rob. So you said that, you know, they definitely have to check it out and make sure that they're actually going to be qualified to take care of your loved one. My question to you is, do you have any other action tips for our injured senior community? One, of course, is beware when you're looking at the facility, but what specific questions should they ask?
I kind of have it in two different buckets. So the first bucket, as you mentioned, is going and looking, kicking tires. You are free to go into these facilities, these assisted living facilities, at any time you want to. Come in at an odd hour and just kind of look around, see what's going on. Is there anybody around? That type of thing. Does it smell bad? Does it seem that people are being treated properly or improperly? That's kind of what I would recommend in terms of the first bucket, which is to actually put eyes on the facility.
Okay.
The second thing is, I would just say it's simple online research. Depending on what state you're in, almost all states have some type of database where you can look up the facility and you can look up whether or not it has been cited by whatever state agency regulates facilities in your state.
Even assisted living facilities?
There should be some way that you can look that up. In most states, that's either online, or you can go to the facility and ask to see that information. Most of the time, you probably can. I know that in Georgia, it's required that you have that information on hand for the last, I don't know, 18 months or a year, whatever the case may be. But I know that also in Georgia, that's available online as well.
Okay.
So do that level of research. And that's what's the unfortunate thing, is that if it was a nursing home, there's a CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, has a website called Nursing Home Compare that gives you an overview, a 5-star rating on different categories of every nursing home in the country. That's not the case for assisted living. It's state by state, but I think most states probably have some type of database like that.
Yeah, that's great advice. Let me just ask you this. Are there patient advocates? I know there's ombudsmen and patient advocates in hospitals and in nursing homes. What about in assisted living facilities?
Your long-term care ombudsman of your state should handle issues with assisted living facilities as well. That is my understanding. That's at least how it is in Georgia, that the ombudsman is not just for nursing homes or skilled nursing. It's also for assisted living.
So you can call the ombudsman's office and find out if that would also extend to assisted living facilities.
Yeah, if you have issues. Right. And also, you know, whatever the Adult Protective Services agency is in your state.
Rob, again, this shot by, you know, this really went by really fast. Just a load of phenomenal information in this past 30 minutes. I want to thank you for coming on and, you know, helping us expose and give visibility to some problems that are in assisted living facilities. And hopefully if we can save one life, then this has been well worth its while, just being able to get this out in the public.
I agree. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's no problem. Very, very revealing. We're going to have you back for a third time. We'll just have to figure out what it's going to be. But there's a lot to talk about with assisted living facilities and nursing homes. By the way, Rob, if anyone in our injured senior community wants to reach out to you, how can they get in touch with you?
They can go to our website, which is schenksmith.com, S-C-H-E-N-K Smith, S-M-I-T-H.com. They give us a call at 678-823-7678 anytime.
Okay. And are you on social media?
Yes. You caught me on that one. We are on Facebook and Instagram, but I don't know if I have those handles.
Well, I can tell you, if you just go into the search bar there and type in Schenk Smith or Rob Schenk, they can find you.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, again, thanks, Rob. And we'll be talking to you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
That's it today for our show, Injured Senior Community. If you have any legal questions or want a consultation about an injury, disease, or condition you believe you got as a result of the negligence of a company or individual, please feel free to email me at steve@injuredseniorhotline.com. Also, if you'd like to audition to be a guest on the Injured Senior podcast, such as telling your story as an injured senior or the loved one or husband or wife of an injured senior, again, email me at steve@injuredseniorhotline.com. And if you like the content that we discussed today, and we had a real whirlwind of information from Rob Schenk, please head on over to our show notes page where you'll find a bevy of information and a summary of today's show and important links that we mentioned in this episode. Always feel free to reach out to me about your own story, as I said, at steve@injuredseniorhotline.com. Also, please subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcast platforms, rate and review. So thanks again for joining in. We were so happy to have you here. Hope you got some benefit out of this show. Be sure to tune in to next week's show, and I will talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Injured Senior Podcast with Steve H. Heisler. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate, subscribe, review, and share on Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. To find out more or to get help anytime, go to InjuredSeniorHotline.com or call 855-622-6530. We'll see you next time.